Blog Talk Radio.
Blessings and greetings, and blessings, blessed souls. We're alive because we're intending to stay alive in this most existential of moments, with the intent of being configured to eternal Torah teachings, toward Chaim, instructions of life, toward Chesed, instructions of kindness, toward Terachim, instructions of mercies. You're now tuned into Blog Talk Radio, and we humbly assert we are the higher inner frequency of Blog Talk Radio. We call ourselves Soul Class. This is Soul Class number 764, Anusim on the Rise, part 36. Baruch Hashem, blesses our eternal creator, shalom, peace, and bracha, blessing upon the entire human family experience. With creator's help, we're now broadcasting right now on January 23rd, 2022. It's 7:01 in the Holy Land time of Israel, particularly in Jerusalem, Yerushalayim, corresponding to 12:01, two minutes past high noon, live from Turtle Island, equals AKA equals USA, equals Unified Soul Actualization. Program content will focus on being in discussion with Ezra Lanusim, Israeli Amuta CEO, Yafabat Yikasta, who will share thoughts about the apathy and indifference of people relating to causes of justice, how people are subjecting themselves to sickness due to poor diet, overall not taking proper care of themselves, and these issues, how they connect with our mitzvahs found, commandments, found within eternal Torah teachings. To further interact with Yafabat Yikasta, you can reach her by yaffbatya@yahoo.com. If you want to call into the program, make this show a little bit more organic in the second half hour, call 563-999-3688. In the meantime, may the Eternal bless and protect you and your loved ones while you take a look at the Ezra Lanusim website, which is http://beneianousim.org/. That's again, beneianousim.org. And now without further ado, we're just going to turn down the music, which is the theme song from Exodus. At that point, we'll bring in Yafabat Yikasta, make it a really good shoe. Good evening, Yafabat, from Yerushalayim, Jerusalem.
Yes, hi, Don. How are you?
Good. Baruch Hashem, we had a little Don moment corresponding to Murphy's Law. When I turned down the music for this theme song to Exodus, the movie, the cursor got stuck on the play button. That's why it took me a little bit while to bring you in. But I just want to mention, I chose this song to start today's program, which is the theme song from the movie Exodus, which many years ago, which probably most of us saw. It was starring Paul Newman and a host of other actors and actresses. And I was thinking to myself, a good theme for today's program is predicated on what we're going through right now as we go through the weekly Torah portions, Shmos, and Vayera, and Bo, B'Shalach, and yesterday was Yisro, which was the giving of the Torah. And I think that more and more people are realizing there's a great exodus. We are standing on the cusp of a great exodus. Not only the children of Israel from the diaspora, but an exodus of the children of Noah who want to get closer to the Almighty. And in between them, heading toward the direction of Bnei Yisrael, are the Bnei Anusim, who, it could be millions upon millions of individuals, but no one knows. I'm not a prophet, I can't say. Yafia Bhatia has an organization called Ezra Lanusim, Israel Amut, CEO. But not only that, Yafia Bhatia is concerned about matters that I think are very, very common sense, meaning that we have to become more aware of living proper lives. In my field, Blessed Souls, in the mental health field, there is something called self-care. And if we don't take care of ourselves, we're actually setting ourselves for secondary levels of trauma, meaning we can be traumatized by those who we're trying to empower. And I just want to give two quick statements from Rabbeinu Bachaya from his classic book, Chavos Levavos, Duties of the Heart. Number one, the Almighty Hashem God is reading our mind every moment. So you can have that interpersonal wireless connection with the Creator and communicate your thoughts, your concerns, and not just your own lifestyle, but that of your family and community and nation and the world. And also, something that I don't think is really picked up in the Western mind, maybe in the Eastern mind, but not in the Western mind as far as I can see. So when people are happy, they're besimcha, as we say in Hebrew, Rabbeinu Bachaya wants to identify this, is that it's actually an expression of trust in Hashem. Usually people associate happiness with, you know, I've got a new car, I've got a new house, I've got a new wife, I have a new husband, I have a new child, which are great things to have. But ultimately, we have to be happy as an expression of trusting in the Almighty. It might seem like a very tangential, exponential way of thinking, but the Torah is actually offering us the opportunity to look outside our own little cognitive and emotional bubbles that we live in, and not to burst the bubble, to realize the bubble is a lot wider than our thinking and our awareness as of this very moment, this most existential moment. So with that being said, Yafe Batya, anything you'd like to comment on what I said, and then we can move on to the first portion of today's program.
Well, I love that comment about, you know, Hashem is reading our minds all the time, and so we have this ability to connect with Him at any moment that we choose. It's a network that never goes down, by the way. There's never a technical problem with that network. It's
That's
always
right.
there. It's always available. I love it. I love that concept. Yeah.
And it's also it's beyond 5G, Yafe Batya. Way beyond 5G.
Maybe not a million G, you know, whatever.
That's right. Ain't so G.
Right.
Yes.
So it's true. We do have to take care of ourselves. That's in the Torah, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
I'll give you the site. It's at Deuteronomy chapter 4, verses 9 and 10. But it starts out by saying, only beware and guard yourself. That's the English translation in the Siddur. But if you look in the Hebrew, okay, it's they shomer nefeshecha, your soul, okay? And the body is the vehicle, the sukkah, the car, if you will, that soul rides in to be able to move around and get around in this environment called earth, okay, right? So if we're not taking care of the body, obviously we're not taking care of the soul. We're not doing this. It is a commandment to take care of ourselves. Okay? So that is just essential for people to understand that it's a Torah commandment to take care of ourselves. And I want to go, this whole notes that I have here for today's podcast on started from Shabbat. In the Parsha of Yitro, Jethro, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Because Jethro starts in Exodus chapter 18, verse 1. And what's the first part that it talks about in 18, verse 1? It talks about Amalek and Timnah. Now, Timnah was a noble woman, and she wanted to be a proselyte, and she was rejected by Abraham, Isaac, and Yaakov in their day.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the commentary on Ma'am Loez, which I always read on Shabbat, I love this commentary, actually says that Jethro was concerned about becoming a proselyte. He was debating back and forth between being a Ger Toshav, which is the modern-day equivalent, you know, that we call B'nai Noach, okay, observing the mitzvot Sheva Noach, or becoming a full proselyte, which is called a Ger Tzedek. And he was concerned because Timnah was rejected. He was concerned that he would be rejected, like Timnah was rejected. What happened with Timnah is because she was rejected, She became a concubine of Esau's son Eliphaz, and she bore him Amalek.
Right.
Now, what happened was Jethro heard all about what happened for Moshe and the B'nai Israel and the exodus from Egypt and everything, including the war that Amalek started, which the Israelites won. Okay? So he concluded, well, wait a minute. If Amalek had, you know, kind of like the chutzpah to attack the Israelites, but they won against him.
Right.
And then God says he's going to erase his name, both in this world and in the next, right?
Right.
Amalek's
right.
name is going to be erased. So Jethro decided that it was safe. It was okay to become a proselyte. But the commentary in Me'amluez also states that the reason why Amalek was allowed to attack by God allowed this to happen, was to punish the Israelites who were descended from Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob because of the rejection of Timnah. And that was measure for measure. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I'm sitting here saying, wait a minute. We have this situation for the B'nai Anusim, and I'm going to be very straight in this, you know, talk that we're going to have here, you and me, okay?
Mm-hmm.
I'm sitting here saying, wait a minute, we have Jewish communities all over Latin America that will not accept converts, and they won't even help the B'nai Anusim who are actually technically not converts, they're returnees coming
mm-hmm.
back because they have Jewish ancestry, and their ancestors mm-hmm. carried on custom and tradition, law, Jewish law, et cetera, but in hiding. They were secretly
mm-hmm.
Jewish because they had to be, okay?
Mm-hmm.
What's the punishment going to be for all of these people who have been rejecting converts and B'nai Anusim for 95 years? Can you imagine, Don? It's been 95 years since they created this Takanah.
Right. It's pretty scary.
It's actually
scary. I mean,
very, very scary.
Right. I mean, you know, my mentor, just to briefly interject, you know, encourages me because he feels that I'm trying to go in the way of Abraham. And
mm-hmm.
when I talk to people, whether it be Jew who needs a little strengthening, or a Ben Noach who needs a little strengthening, or someone in the process of converting, because actually I have a study partner now who lives in Crown Heights, who is now, I was explaining to him the whole, you know, I gave a brief synopsis, very superficial compared to what your knowledge is, of B'nai Anusim and this decree from the rabbis in South America 100 years ago, and therefore I tell them, you become a part of our synagogue, shul, and we're learning and we're praying next to each other every day. I introduced him to the rabbi, no problem, to my congregational mates, as you say, my prayer buddies. It's not a simpler way to say it, and he's embraced,
right.
and he can learn very nicely. By the way, he can read the Hebrew with the Nekudot. So, but I just said, as you know, just to spare him pain, I said you'd be here 3, 6, 9 months, whatever it takes until you're ready to go for conversion. But you'll have testimony from me and other people that can attest the fact that you're part of a Jewish community. So that's one thing that I've taken from the bitter experiences that the B'nai Anusim are having in South America. So hopefully we can avoid another person, because it's so powerful Torah teachings, and I try to encourage them to be very existential in the moment, but stay very thirsty. Keep the pilot light on,
right.
on, and there'll time when you can inflame up into your full actualized self, and the whole idea of Ger Nisgayer, a convert is someone who was always really Jewish in their soul, but they have to go through some sort of teeny tiny rectification, tikkun, as we say. So I just want to share with that
right.
that it's I also want to mention one more thing before we go further, that we also see from Yaakov himself, his daughter Dina, that he hit her when he met with his brother Esau, and the commentaries bring out that if Esau had seen her and wanted to marry her, and he would have been able to, perhaps Dina would have, because she was the daughter of Jacob, Yaakov, Yisrael, she wouldn't be able to turn him from his way, because he went off the way.
Right, exactly.
And then she was molested by Shechem ben Hamor. Shechem ben Hamor, yeah. Or was it Hamor ben Shechem?
Right.
I forgot which
name.
Right,
and so that was also thought to be a punishment, okay, for Yaakov because he hit her. In other words,
right. There's
measure for measure in everything, okay?
Right.
So in going on, what I want to point out to our audience
mm-hmm.
is that our enemy for the B'nai Nissim and helping them is something called apathy and indifference, okay? In terms of people not really caring about this injustice that's been going on for all of these generations, actually, for the Sephardi
mm-hmm.
Jews who had to be Jewish secretly and are now trying to come back and they don't get help. And again, especially in Latin America, they don't get the help
right.
and they don't get the support. And also in Israel, they're denied. They don't accept here in Israel that the B'nai Nissim are a part of Am Yisrael. And I have proof of that, okay, in government reports and whatnot. So there's a lot of apathy and indifference. And I believe that the measure for measure for someone who's apathetic and indifferent, okay, about these kinds of issues like injustice, okay, and not helping people who were secretly Jewish, ancestors were secretly Jewish, is that they become apathetic and indifferent to themselves and to their own health and well-being. Okay, that's
Could
what
be.
I think
yeah,
the measure
yeah.
for measure is. Because people just are not with it, are clueless about things related to health. Let me give you an example. And I have these things that I've sent to you, and you can put them on your website. The CDC, okay, the Center for Disease Control and Prevention, recently came out with an article, January 19th, that 75% of COVID-19 deaths, quote, had four or more comorbidities. Now, a comorbidity is some other kind of health problem, illness, disease, whatever. And they gave a list in this article. So I'm just going to read the list, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Cancer, by the way, cancer brings down the immune system, and so does
sure.
the typical cancer treatments, as you know.
Right.
Okay, so
right.
cancer, cerebral vascular disease, that's the veins in the brain, cerebral vascular, as compared with cardiovascular, which is also on the list,
mm-hmm.
okay?
Mm-hmm.
Chronic kidney disease, chronic lung diseases, including COPD, chronic obstructive pulmonary disease, hypertension, which is high blood pressure, chronic liver diseases, sclerosis, non-alcoholic fatty liver disease, and everything to do with the liver, type 1 and type 2 diabetes, all kinds of heart conditions, heart failure, coronary artery disease, cardiomyopathy, along with, again, high blood pressure, stroke, okay?
Right. Right.
Including also mental health disorders like depression and other mood disorders and schizophrenia, obesity, okay, which the CDC defines as a BMI, body mass index, greater than 30 kilograms, okay? Now,
mm-hmm.
what do all these things have in common? Diet is a key factor in all of
right.
these things.
Yes.
And this is what Dr. Lustig goes into. I've sent you the link to a video that Dr. Robert Lustig produced. And his video is called The Hacking of the American Mind. Okay, and it's not just America, all right? It could be other countries as well, but he's focused
right.
on America. And what he talks about in this video, it's so excellent. I can't recommend it enough to people because he is a doctor, but he talks about all of this in very basic, simple ways of understanding the big problem here that we've got in the United States,
mm-hmm.
okay?
Mm-hmm.
And it's called a confusion between pleasure and happiness,
mm-hmm.
where pleasure comes from substances and behaviors, is short-term, it's about taking rather than giving, And it's about dopamine, which is a neuron in the brain, a chemical in the brain, which affects the neurons, which actually causes neurons to die. And in excess, if people are too much focused on pleasure, it actually decreases serotonin, which is the opposite. Serotonin promotes happiness and contentment. It's long-term. It's about giving rather than taking. I mean, his video goes into all of this, and it's just excellent. Dopamine excites or it gives somebody a high. Have you ever heard of a sugar high?
We've all experienced it.
And sugar and carbs, carbohydrates, again, a lot of it, sugar and carbs, increases glucose. And constantly high glucose in the blood causes insulin sensitivity, And insulin sensitivity is the definition of diabetes, where the body doesn't recognize the insulin. So it takes the extra glucose from the sugar and the carbs and puts it on the body as fat, so the person gets more and more fat. Now, years ago, there was a myth. People used to say this all the time, fat makes you fat,
Right.
It's absolutely untrue.
Right.
But we're only talking about good fats. There are also bad fats. So people need to know the difference between the good fats and the bad fats. Okay, I got that. But the good fats are healthy for the body. It's needed for the body. It's needed by the brain. It's needed, you know, in all kinds of ways, So what happened was after Eisenhower had a heart attack. He didn't die from it, but he had a heart attack, and it scared a lot of people. So this PhD doctor, PhD Ansel Keys, did some research, and he did a lot of autopsies on people who had died from cardiac arrest, heart attack and stroke and this kind of thing. And he found a lot of cholesterol in their veins. So he surmised that the problem with high cholesterol, especially clogging the veins, which then would decrease the amount of blood that could go through the veins and the arteries, which would then cause the heart attack. And so what happened was the government went on this kick of trying to promote a healthy diet through the FDA food pyramid, which the old one isn't much different from the newer one, which promotes the eating of a lot of carbs. At the very top of the pyramid, the little tiny little triangle at the very top, is the fats. When in actuality, the carbs, along with the sugar, increases glucose, which increases insulin sensitivity, which creates diabetes, which adds fat to the body, because the fat gets stored because the insulin is not recognized, which then causes all of these comorbidities. By the way, heart disease and diabetes are very, very high on the list of health issues in the United States. It's outrageous. So what happened was the whole thing went, the recommendation by the FDA and everybody, doctors were taught this, everybody was eat a low-fat, high-carb diet, which was the worst thing to do. So what happened? Diabetes shot up, heart attacks shot up, all kinds of cardiovascular disease, and et cetera, And that's still the truth today. I mean, you look at if you go on the internet, on any of your search engines, and you search on the latest FDA food pyramid, you'll see the very bottom of the pyramid is all the carbs. They're still recommending people eat in their diet mostly carbs, with fats at the very top, And it's the exact opposite of what people should be doing. So here's what he said, Dr. Lustig said in the video, which again, I can't recommend this enough. So I'm going to give a couple of pieces of information from the video, but people, I would recommend they watch the whole video. Dr. Lustig says that when it comes to healthcare costs, 75% of the healthcare costs in the United States are related to chronic metabolic syndrome diseases like type 2 diabetes, hypertension, which is high blood pressure, lipid problems, which is high cholesterol and high triglycerides, cardiovascular disease, heart attacks and strokes, cancer, dementia, goes on. Okay? He gives a list of all of those. And those are the major comorbidities, by the way, that killed the majority of the people. 75% of the people who died, okay, related to COVID, were people who had these kinds of comorbidities, right? Then he says this. The food industry grosses $1.46 trillion per year. $1.46 trillion. Their gross profit is $657 billion per year. This is the food industry. By the way, I should mention, and not fail to mention, that when high-carb, low-fat diets were promoted, what did the food industry do? They started adding sugar and high-fructose corn syrup and other forms of sugar to the food. Why? Because they wanted to make it taste better. Without the fat, it wasn't. It was going to taste like cardboard.
Right.
Okay? So they had to add sugar. And that was the worst thing, again. High sugar, high carbs, all right? Okay.
Yep.
So the food industry grosses $1.46 trillion per year. They have a gross profit of $657 billion. Now, the healthcare expenditures per year are $3.2 trillion. 75% of that is for metabolic disease, and Dr. Lustig thinks that 75% of that number could be reduced. Okay, it could be prevented if we would fix the food problem. In other words, if people would get on a heart-healthy diet and other health forms of health, okay, and understand that they're responsible for this. It's their personal responsibility to take care of their body, take care of their health. The doctors don't know, most doctors, I mean, not all of them, because obviously there are some, but a lot of the doctors aren't taught about nutrition. They don't know too much about nutrition. It's not taught. They learn medicine. They learn about surgery. Okay. So here's what Dr. Lustig says, his final point that I'll quote, or not quote, but paraphrase. You cannot have health care reform unless you have health reform, and you cannot have health reform unless you have diet reform. Now, it's a little more than diet. A full complex of different various things that affect health, okay? Part of it's diet, part of it's sleep, getting a good night's sleep, part of it's getting exercise, part of it's getting fresh air, okay, being stuck in a place where there's no fresh air for a long period of time is not healthy. And then there's the spiritual dimension. Healthy spiritual in the sense of good, strong emunah and bitachon, you know, trust and faith in Hashem and all the other things that go with the spiritual health. So we can't forget that because the body, you know, is a very complex, I don't know what to call it. It's not a machine, but,
it involves organism,
and it involves all kinds of these factors, the emotional, the psychological, the spiritual, all of that, okay? Now, there's corruption in these areas. The U.S. government has never backed down off the mantra of fat makes you fat and pyramid, which promotes, you know, low-fat and high-carb diets, okay? They've never backed off of that, and it's been proven since the 1970s that it's the exact opposite. You should be having a high-fat, low-carb diet, low-carb, lots of low-carb vegetables, lots of low-carb fiber in the diet, obviously protein and the good fat. Make sure you know the good fat from the bad fat, all right? So that's just an outstanding video that I highly recommend. And the bottom line, and it makes me very sad to say this, okay, but the apathy and indifference that I'm seeing in the Jewish world, because that's where the responsibility lies, but the apathy and indifference to help these people called the B'nai Nissim that I'm seeing of people just not really caring about it, this injustice that keeps carrying on, okay, I think is being, you know, Hashem is like paying people back, if you want to use the word punishment, all right? But there's a payback. There's a boomerang. Measure for measure is like a boomerang, okay? It comes back to people, and they become more and more apathetic, doing whatever the government says, doing eating processed food out the kazoo, eating junk food out the kazoo, Junk food is also filled with sugar. My husband, one last comment, and then I'll let you see what you want to talk about. My husband, Rabbi Pankos, when I married him, had type 2 diabetes, okay? And one of the articles I sent to you, by the way, is also an excellent, excellent article, How to Reverse Diabetes Naturally, okay? So I hope you'll offer that to your listeners as well on your podcast website. But I did exactly what the article said, except I didn't know about two things. Cinnamon is a very important nutrient, okay, to help with insulin resistance, and chromium. There are several kinds of food that are very high in chromium, broccoli being one of them. Okay, and I won't go through all the list. But the thing is, I knew the sugar was the problem and carbs were the problem. So over time, not to immediately have him go cold turkey, no sugar, all right? But over time, we started, both of us, I was on this food plan as well because I was pre-diabetic at the time, okay? But his was more serious because he was diabetic. He'd have the highs and the lows. He'd have the sugar high and then he'd crash, right? So what we did was over time, processed food, I make all the food fresh from scratch. I make my own pasta sauce because I didn't realize that pasta sauce has sugar in it. I never realized. Okay, I found out so many things about how, so many food items on the shelves in the grocery store that have sugar. You have to read labels. So I started making everything from scratch, everything fresh, fresh vegetables, no TV dinners, you know, all this stuff. And now, guess what? A few years later, this happened, and he was on medication for being diabetic. His doctor finally told him, you're no longer diabetic. Just from that. If I had known about the cinnamon and the chromium, it could have happened faster, or it could have lessened the highs from the sugar he did eat, okay, because the chromium and the cinnamon would have helped the insulin sensitivity problem that he had. But he's no longer diabetic, but he doesn't miss the sugar. Because when I make things from scratch, I use natural sweeteners, not the aspartame and the chemical sweeteners. I use natural sweeteners. So he gets sweet things, and he can eat fresh fruit and vegetables and all of that, and grains and seeds and nuts. And, you know, he has a very healthy, heart-healthy diet, and he has to. But the bottom line is he's no longer diabetic, and anybody can do this. Anybody can do this.
Beautiful.
If they care about
it. I do know of people reversing their type 2. I know that I have individuals I've worked over the years that they were on the cusp of having. No, actually, one individual had to go on a renal diet. He hated it, but he kept to it, and he never developed diabetes. I know someone who kept to a very healthy diet, and he reduced his diabetes medication. So what you're saying is not an anomaly. It's kind of like, you know, like people talk about alternative energy, but Baba Trevi says it's not alternative energy, the sun, the wind, and everything. These are endless energy sources, but however, people are not, you know, human beings are not properly accessing all the varieties of infinite ongoing energy sources. So in terms of this reversal of type 2 diabetes, thank God, by your husband, Yafa, it doesn't surprise me. I saw myself in my own life. My father, at the age of 48, was diagnosed with the pre-warning signs of a heart attack, and he had to cut out all sorts of foods and had his stomach basically take a cleanser for his stomach because he lived by where he worked, was in Monarchy, New Jersey, where there's a lot of chemical dumping. They found a lot of toxins in his stomach. So he basically would eat 19 out of 21 meals a week according to, I forgot the specified diet, but, you know, no added white sugar and white processed salt, which is also, you know, there's a misnomer about, you know, salt is very needed, but it's the right type of salt. So I heartily agree with what you're saying. And as far as people becoming indifferent, I think there's an indifference as well, towards those individuals who have severe mental illness, because I am aware of the fact that people with schizophrenia and other diagnoses have fallen in higher rates than expected. This was data that was gathered, I think, by NYU in New York City. So I'm quite aware, and that's why with my business, where I work in social services organization, we're constantly on top in training people and educating and advocating that they take care of their you know, immune systems. And one of my great disappointments since the corona situation or pandemic, whatever you want to call it, started, is you don't, I don't hear doctors talking about, except, you know, like lone voices in the desert saying, immune system, work on it, develop it, exercise, get out, eat properly. I've learned that, that white processed sugar person eats it, their immunity system is just naturally lowered for 6 hours after whatever amount, I forgot the amount of sugar they should take, which is just not worth it.
Right, exactly. No, that's another aspect of eating healthy and not having a lot of sugar and carbs, because they both turn into glucose, which is really the issue
right.
in the body, okay? And
right.
the thing is, sugar is also addictive. So there's a pleasure center
yes.
in the brain, okay? And if a person eats too much sugar, again, once in a while, once in a great while even, pancakes will have something sweet, I mean with real sugar, okay? But it's not all the time like he was doing before. So what happened to him is he became addicted because the sugar, and the food industry knows this now
right.
very much. They don't want to get off of having sugar in their packaged food, in their processed food, because they know people become addicted to it and they'll buy it more. The cookies and the crackers and the pastries
right.
and all this stuff. Okay, so the thing is, it affects the addiction center in the brain. There's a portion of the brain that's called the addiction center. And it's the same portion of the brain that's affected by nicotine, by cocaine,
right.
by anything, any substance that's addictive. Okay? Goes to the same center. Now, Pankos, as you know, fell and had a fracture in his leg, and he's been recovering. Brooke is gem. He's doing very, very well. But he takes a pharmaceutical drug right now. That's a narcotic, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And it's only if he has pain. Now, he's getting to the point now where we're weaning him off of it. But the thing
okay.
is, what I know and I understand is when he has pain in that area of his leg where he had surgery, that's exactly
mm-hmm.
where that narcotic will go, okay, is to take away the pain. But if he were to take it without pain, he would get a high. And that high would affect that addiction center in the brain, and he would become addicted
right.
to this narcotic. And this is
right.
exactly what happens to people. If they're not rigorous in taking it only when they have pain and then coming off it, they don't become addicted. Even famous people like Rush Limbaugh, he had terrible back pain before he died
right.
for I don't know how
right.
long, and he was addicted to Percocet, or
right.
I forget the other name for it, a more... maybe a name more people recognize, but because that's a brand name. I forget the other name.
I forgot myself. Yeah.
Fentanyl and all these others, okay?
Right,
so it's
right.
very, very important not become addicted to substances. And by the way, speaking of the immune system, I'm with you, Don, 100%. Because of our healthy diet, when we got COVID last year, it was not really serious. I mean, we had symptoms
right.
and everything. It lasted about 6 weeks. The whole thing was right around Sukkot. But we
right.
recovered from it, and now we have natural immunity. Why? Because we have a very strong immune system, because we've been eating healthy and sleeping and doing all of what I'm talking about today. We've been doing this for quite a few years just because it's the right way to take care of the body.
Right.
Okay? Baruch Hashem. We didn't have to go into the hospital. We didn't have to take drugs. We take supplements to increase the nutrients that are positive for the immune system, and there we go back to some articles I sent you. One is called The 15 Foods That Boost the Immune System, and the second one is called 11, is it 11 or 10 Foods That May Weaken the Immune System? So people need to, again, know about these foods that are either going to help the immune system or weaken it.
Right, right. Beautiful. If I'd like to bring in, because I'm sure he has what to say, longtime co-host Dennis Ryan, who is our Rambam activist teacher and student of the Nesher Gadol the Great. He goes, let's bring in Dennis Ryan, and I'm sure you might have some questions or comments you two interact with. Let's bring him in. Dennis, we're bringing you in. Dennis, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Don.
And we have Yafi Bati DeCosta from Jerusalem live, and we have Dennis Ryan live from Turtle Island.
I recognize a voice, 1, 2, 3, and I do not disagree with him.
So any questions, comments, anything that you
well,
think?
Well, I'm I don't want to be a dietitian or anything, but I don't believe the CDC or the FDA will interfere with God's plans for all the humans.
True, but we humans have to...
On top of that, I hear the refrain of not all Jews agree with Jews. And that's a little strange because they all read the same scripture. Are they interpreting it differently? The other thing that bugs me is that there's 613 laws to be a Jew. 215 of them are dietary, and you didn't mention one of them during this discussion.
Enough about you?
Well, that's true, because that would get into too much detail about, for example, good fats versus bad fats and good meat versus not good meat. I mean, when you talk about protein, okay, the things in the Torah that are so-called not good for us and we're told not to eat them, like shellfish and pork, those are scavengers in the animal kingdom or in the sea world. And they eat all the junk, really terrible toxins they eat. The fish, the shellfish, eat the toxins from the bottom of the seafloor. And the pigs eat the toxins and all the trash and the garbage that they eat. So there was an expression years ago, and I guess it's still popular for some people, is the expression, you are what you eat. But the second part of that is you are what you eat eats. So if a person's eating pork, okay, those toxins in the flesh of that animal, which then get into the person, okay, if they eat the pork. So, again, it's getting into what is healthy food versus not healthy food, either from the standpoint of nutritionists and dietitians, which not all of them know all of the latest either, and from the perspective of Torah. Now, for example, my husband and I eat only kosher meat, but we add a second part of it. When we eat red meat, and we don't eat a lot of it, okay, we limit it. We don't eat, you know, constantly red meat. But the red meat that we eat is also organic. Because, again, we care about what those animals are being fed. And if they're being fed grain, okay, which has gluten, and there are other problems with grain causing inflammation, whatever, if they're eating that kind of food instead of grass-fed, which is also what organic is, then that's a second level of health. So we only eat kosher meat, and we only eat kosher meat that's organic also. Okay, so yeah, I agree. But again, that would be a lot of details to get into, so I figured I'd wait to see if people had questions like that.
I appreciate your designation of scavengers, but what would you call the rest of us for a half a century who have been eating processed food, and the processors have been dumping huge amounts of sugar in all processed foods, and we have been gobbling
about
it down like crazy?
Yeah, that's what I talked about in the first half hour of the show.
Can I just interject one moment? In the 1960s, I saw a teaching from the Paul Treby questioning the validity of buying canned foods when people could prepare stuff more freshly. So, I mean, these are issues that have been addressed, Dennis, here and there. Unfortunately, because in the process of socialization and for the fact that, the West is basically has been the catalyst for the promotion of white processed sugars and other type of sweeteners that Jewish people themselves and non-Jewish people, the B'nai Noach, have also fallen prey to all these slick advertisements where, like you show young people drinking Coca-Cola and they're socializing and life is great, or, you know, a person's on the beach smoking their cigarette and another beautiful person comes up to them. So there's a lot of psychological – I mean, I took a course in tobacco cessation, to be a little tangential, but to the point. And the how different cultural groups are targeted by the tobacco industry is very, very insidious. So in terms of even ethnic foods that are sold on a mass scale that are processed here in the country and around the world, there's a lot of subliminal messaging that's going on to induce someone – who's not going to the dietitian or the nutritionist, and out of convenience because of the fast pace of this world, they fall into this rut, just eating junky meal after junky meal. Enough about you?
Well, yeah, and that's what I call apathetic and indifferent to oneself and one's own health. I mean, people, we have computers today, and yes, they can be used for not good, but they can also be used for very good things. These search engines are very, very powerful. I'm not going to mention the one. People can use any kind of search engine they want. And I have a favorite website called Dr. X, AXE.com.
Mm-hmm.
You can look up any nutrient. You can look up any food item or food group. You can find recipes that include those nutrients, okay? I get a lot of my recipes from Dr. X. And that article I sent you, Don, about how to reverse diabetes naturally is a Dr. X article, okay?
Right.
So the point I'm trying to get at, and the article's about best healthy fats and foods that boost the immune system and the ones that weaken the immune system and all of that, those are all from Dr. X. So what I'm trying to say is people have the power. If they have a computer, if they don't have a computer, it's a different matter, but they have the ability to look these things up, okay, on the Internet. And there's all kinds of health and wellness organizations that have websites so you can subscribe, and they send you information. I've been subscribing for years to these organizations. That's how I know about all this stuff. I haven't eaten processed food in many, many years, except on a very rare occasion. If I'm tired and I want to open up a can of beans, why? Because I don't want the BPA that's in the can, Dawn.
Right.
I'd rather cook
right.
my own black beans than open up a can of black beans. But sometimes I'm tired. Now, on occasion, if I do that, I feel, okay, it's okay, because 80 to 90% of our food plan does not include processed food, also because of the sugar, okay? But if I do it once in a great while because of being tired, a lack of time, I don't have time to prepare something from scratch, okay, I'll do it. And I don't feel so bad about it, because on that scale of doing it once in a great while, it's not going to really hurt me, because the majority of our time we're eating everything prepared from scratch, literally. Okay, raw beans, raw lentils, raw everything, and I cook them from scratch. So I agree with you totally about processed food, but people need to research this stuff on their own, find out for themselves what they want to do about their health. Do they want to go to a doctor that's only been taught drugs and surgery as a last-ditch effort? And by the way, sometimes that's what has to happen for somebody so they don't die. Okay, they need drugs or they need surgery, okay?
But
what about people who want to go the natural route, who want to be healthy naturally and have their own personal responsibility at play in terms of eating right, getting the proper exercise, fresh air, sleeping properly, all the factors of health, okay, that they can think of.
Right.
They can do that. And that's what's causing people, even when they get COVID, to not have as strong, and no vaccines, but to not have very, very strong symptoms that will cause them to go into the hospital and to recover, okay, because their immune system is strong. That's the bottom line.
Mm-hmm. I know I myself, just a little personal history, that I had COVID from March 13th till about March 18th, 2020. And I've been a person who eats a lot of garlic, a lot of turmeric and black pepper and ginger and a lot of vegetables. Mm-hmm. And when I try to eat a piece of meat, whether it be fish or, red meat or chicken, poultry, is I try the volume of vegetables, and hopefully cruciferous vegetables like celery and cabbage I'm in a recent uptick in my Brussels sprout consumption, is I find that it's very, very helpful in maintaining good health. I mean, I'd like to say that after Tishrei, we actually had a guest who had the COVID. I guess it was the Delta. It wasn't the Omicron. I don't think Omicron really got here at that time. I'm not sure. Maybe it did. I started coughing, and this hacking cough. And in fact, I did a radio program where I coughed a lot. Or one of my other efforts. And I went to a PA, and he said, "You're going to have to cough it out." I said, "Give me a medicine." He's like, "There's no medicine. You just have to cough it out." And lo and behold, I drank a lot of tea, and I tried to eat well. Couldn't do too much exercising during the time, but I got through it. So, you know, and even in Indian culture, I know I'm aware of this because I worked once with a speech therapist from India. Her and her husband were a duo for speech therapy, and she in particular was specializing in a speech therapist for nonverbal autistic individuals. And from her culture in India, she didn't identify which one it was. If, say, she likes to get a headache, they don't reach for an Advil or a Tylenol. They just work their way through the pain.
No.
You know, and that's a lot of courage.
See,
I mean,
my mother was a nurse, okay? Even before she was a nurse, she had this view about drugs, pharmaceuticals, which said, when you need them, they'll work for you if you only take them when you absolutely have to, when you absolutely need them.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
if you don't need them, don't take them. It's not that she was anti-drugs, but you don't always need them. And so even for a headache, for me, there are only two types of headache I get. I'm either hungry or it's tension. So if it's a tension headache, I just go in a quiet room, the lights are all out, and I sit there for 10 to 15 minutes just relaxing, and the headache goes away. Or if it's not from tension and stress, I'm hungry. So what do? I eat. I hardly ever take aspirin or anything for a headache because those are only two times I get it. But this I get from my mother, okay, is you don't take it unless you absolutely need it. But when you need it, then you take it and it works for you. That's the way we were raised. And she always gave us plates of food that had all the food groups. You know, you had a small portion of protein or meat. You had fiber. You had your fruits. And you had your vegetables, okay? Always, because mm-hmm. that's the way she was brought up. So if people will eat like that, will eat healthy and do all the other stuff, get exercise and fresh air and everything, sleep well, their immune system is strong. And Hashem designed our bodies that when he created this world, he created everything. He created the bacteria and the virus and everything else for us to live mm-hmm. with. But the anecdote, if we get a virus in our body, is the immune system. That's what it's for, against viral pneumonia, against bacterial pneumonia, against all of these things. If our immune system is strong, for the most part, that's what will take care of it. And people don't understand that, and they don't trust in Hashem and in his system and the way he designed our bodies, apparently, to go that way. And instead, they're listening to the government, they're listening to these people who really don't understand nutrition, and what's good nutrition and what's poor nutrition. Okay, a lot of people, they're starving for good nutrition because they're not eating nutrient-dense foods. They're eating junk food, okay, and a lot of sugar and all that. So, yeah, it's just knowledge and then going along and little by little changing the food plan, okay, to be more consistent with whole foods, nutrient-dense foods, less and less of the processed food and more of things made from fresh. That's the key.
Dennis, I know that, I mean, it's actually been, believe it or not, it's been 8 years since we were in the same room together at my son's bar mitzvah, but I remember then you were at ideal body weight, and I'm assuming you're still maintaining your body weight. What is your
150,
insight?
Don. 150.
And you're 150. About 5'9"? 5'10"?
5'8", 150.
Yeah, that's good. That's great. So what would you attribute your success in keeping your ideal body weight and staying your mind mentally clear after, you know, you are a little bit older than I am, probably in the area of Yafi Batya's age? What are those two?
Do not overeat. Do not overeat.
That's a good one, yeah.
And mental clarity.
I would have loved her mother. I would have loved her mother. God bless her.
And Dennis,
I did too.
What are the things that you would say are causative towards maintaining your mental acuity?
Mental acuity is concentrating on the spiritual and not the temporal. If you think you have real mm-hmm. temporal problems, they don't compare to spiritual problems. You must clear your mind and handle the spiritual problems, and you can deal with the little temporal problems anytime.
As they say, the work is waiting for you when you return from vacation.
The work is always there.
Yes.
And by the way, Don and Dennis,
go ahead. Yeah.
I have one more comment. All the fear porn that was put out in the news media, okay, about the so-called pandemic also didn't help, because when people are fearful and they're stressed and they have anxiety and all this other stuff, that also reduces the immune system. It brings it down. If people right. don't drink enough water, interestingly enough, if they're dehydrated because they're not drinking enough fluids, that also draws down the immune system. Negative mm-hmm. emotions mm-hmm. draws down the immune system. Constant complaining, constant, you know, saying negative things about people, lashon hara, for example, or saying anything negative about anything, complaining to Hashem all the time instead of
right.
the gratitude, which is the opposite, of course, and being thankful to Hashem, which increases the strength of the immune system, and the constant complaining and negativity and bringing oneself down, bringing other people down, draws down the immune system. There are so many things that people don't understand about how to have a strong immune system and what they're doing to even draw down or weaken their own immune system, destroying their immune system by their lifestyle and their habits and all these other things. It's incredible what people don't know about the immune system. I'll end with that.
Okay. Well, and hopefully it's a beginning for someone else who's listening in, either live or will hear the archive version. I'd like to thank, first of all, Dennis Ryan, our Rambam teacher, student, and activist, who's actually going to be heading down to South America, Yafa Batya, and perhaps he, by Ashkacha Pratis, Divine Providence, he might run into individuals who are seeking out their Judaic lifestyle, and Dennis can, hopefully, if you meet anyone like that down there, you can turn them to Yafa Batya for some sort of assistance, at least a telephone call, an email. So that's another homework assignment, and Dennis is going to be sharing his insights about South America when he comes back later next month. And last but not least, I want to thank Israel Anusim, Israeli Muta CEO, Yafa Batya DaCosta. And you see that she's not a one-issued person. Life has many different dimensions, and Yafa Batya is trying to cover as many as she can to empower herself, her husband, her community in Jerusalem, Yerushalayim, the Bnei Anusim who are in the diaspora, and those hopefully who will come start in larger numbers to the Holy Land. And I'd like to end up with those by saying this. First of all, if you want to reach Rafi Batya, let me just mention again, you can reach her through her website, which is yaffbatya@yahoo.com. That's yaffbatya@yahoo.com. You can also go to Facebook. She has a page there, Yafa Batya DaCosta. That's YaffaBatya DaCosta. And there's also a group, Ezra, EZRA, capital L, apostrophe ANOUSIM, Israeli, Amuta, AMUTA, which is the CEO, but that's not on the website. And also, there is an actual website for Bnei Anusim, which is outside of Facebook and sometimes seen inside Facebook, and that is http://BNEIANOUSIM.org/. And we'd like to conclude today, blessed souls out there, with a song by actually someone who is a Ger Tzedek, a righteous convert, who came from the hood in Seattle, is now living in the Holy Land. And he's had his challenges, and he's met his challenges. He's met with Reb Kamenevsky, who was a big tzaddik living in Bnei Brak, about matters of education of his children. And he wrote a song, bless us, called Change. So we're going to go for the changes, for healthier lifestyles, healthier mentalities, healthier attitudes to our Creator, and fellowshipping with every man, woman, and child in this world in the way of Ahava Chad, one love, Goral Chad, one destiny, Kolam for Allah, B'darchi Nom, Darchi Shalom, Danzi Sigurdman, your local international cyberspace Torah activist. Wishing everyone a wonderful week, and let's make this world better. Take care, everyone.
Life can be very difficult to experience as a child. And as we get older, it's only more difficult to experience change. But it can all change. I'm not afraid to
Try to reach a vision, I'll be short sighted. I'm ready to change, I wanna know.